destination. This is the Chat in the Garden with your host, Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports.
Welcome to A Chat in the Garden, where we're celebrating a decade of chatting where significance blooms in athletics and sports. And I told my mother something last night, and not sure if you all realize, but every time you say or I say where significance blooms in athletics and sports, we're talking about you. So I'm saying that you are significant, and I'm planting that seed with you. And that really came from, you're not going to believe it, James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud. Every time you sung the song, it did something for you. And I know how it feels to be invisible in this athletic administrative world. And I decided that is how I wanted to plant that seed with you without you even knowing it. So, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. This is what we do. So, in the honor of that being significant, I've noticed that the confidence level, that was my part in trying to build up confidence. Now, you really can't build up confidence by thinking. I'm just sorry to tell you. You can't think your way into confidence. You have to do your way into confidence. So, the Chat in the Garden is having a 3-day speakers challenge, and it's free to members of the garden. It is brought to you by Clutch Communications. And I'm really excited about it because we've already seen evidence of the success of it. And that's what I'm excited about. Stacy Miller is the owner of Clutch Communications. And since he began to promote this, another member of the Advance Academy, which is our group membership program, and we meet every third Sunday at 9 p.m., and I give some training or I have a guest presenter and give some training. And, you know, community is important. And from that, one of the members was speaking at Alfred, which is, Alliance of physical education. I can't get all the acronyms together, but it's in Alabama, and it's for PE teachers in Alabama and administrators. And she was asked to give a talk with years and years of always saying, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. And so she did it with Stacy's assistant, of helping her craft it. So attending this training, after this training, you will be able to craft compelling messages, engage with audiences, and post training strategies. So if you're a person that, okay, yeah, I don't have a problem speaking, but I don't have a problem creating a speech, you need to be in this training. And it's free, people. It's free. And she's going to give you some little activities to get you going. But I just think when you realize you got all the resources you need in the garden, to grow. That's what I'm really excited about. It starts Monday, next Monday, the 29th of April to May, and it's nightly at 7 p.m. So it's going to be in a Zoom call. So you're going to have to register. You're going to have to register. And because this is really promoted visually and it has a QR code, she's got a Bitly, a link, and I'm going to try to tell it to you. But just in case you don't get it, you can email me at MoniqueAJSmith@CZEmpowerment.info, and I will send you the link. Again, MoniqueAJSmith@CZEmpowerment.info, and I will send you the link to register. But the Bitly link is bit.ly/43PR_C_SX. Again, bit.ly/43PR_C_SX, and register for this really great growing opportunity that has already seen success. And I'm here to tell you that I have been, I want to say, at least 6 years of working with Katasha. And I'm glad that, it's funny because most of the programs I've ever done in the 20 years of me creating programming, I always got somebody in mind, and that she was the person I had in mind, something that would give her the tools that she can continue to go back to. And I can see her confidence. The key thing I want you to see, I can see her confidence with the pictures of her talking about her subject matter. And here's the thing. I'm telling you. Exposure equals elevation. When you expose to others your expertise, you will be elevated. It has been proven time and time and time again. So Stacy exposed her expertise to others. So she's elevated because she said, this is what I do well. I help others write speeches. I help with communication. Her main thing was student-athletes, and I was like, you can do student-athletes. You can do it for the administrators. So then for Tasha, her speech at this convention talked about her ability to do academic certifications. What happened? A school district asked if she assist him create something, some policies or something. When you communicate your expertise, you will elevate. I'm just saying. So get on board. I look forward to seeing you because we're going to be on Zoom on the 29th and on May 1st. So we have a new media partner. Yes, we do. Dr. Karen Hall. She is the author of the book, 10 Tremendous Leadership Lessons, A Guide to Leadership Learning. It is available on Amazon today. She's had the book out for a while, and she actually talks about the book, I want to say, in the 6th issue of Synecdoche's in Athletics and Sports. But celebrating her in June at the NACTA convention, because guess what? When she was on the podcast, she had the number one podcast. And you know that's what I love to do is celebrate those who people get the most information from. And I'm excited about sharing that info with you all. But beyond that, I feel honored because she's invested not only to be in the magazine, but she's invested also to help me continue to share her message out to the world. And so when we have the convention, when we go to the convention, I think we're in Las Vegas again. Yep, we show up. When we have our reception again, she will be doing a book signing. Isn't that exciting? I just get excited that people in the garden got books. You know, it's just so rare that we have books, that we read everybody else's books. And that's why, hey, again, seeds are reeds, and reeds equals books. So if I can plant a book with you, I know I can grow you. And if I can plant you a book that's from my own garden, man, we're eating twice, okay? All right. The seventh issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports is live on Amazon. It is our largest issue, and I'm asking you please to go get it because it's our largest issue, and the designer said you owe her more money because it's bigger. So I need you all to go get it so I can pay the additional fee. I'm just being transparent. Because this magazine is not like a circulation, which I would love to be, but, you know, y'all don't want to subscribe. But I got an opportunity for you. It is smarter to go ahead and subscribe to the magazine. You get two live issues every year for $30. And then you don't have to wonder, did I get it? Did I order it? Where is it? It will always be coming to you. And so it's on live on Amazon. I do have some hints. You can go to the store and go get a single issue. Or if you're smart, you go get both can be found at seedsofempowermentstore.com. Seedsofempowermentstore.com. And I also bought the domain Black Women in Sports Chat. Black Women in Sports for S Chats.com. So that you can subscribe to this podcast. Don't have to worry about, oh, I missed it. It will be right in your email when I send out the replays. I send the replays out. I try every Thursday. So you don't want to miss out. Don't want to miss out. Another one of our partners that is also in the magazine who has decided to invest with us continually is the court, On the Court Solutions. This is Lori Curtis, and she, her mission is to unlock the limitless potential with every student athlete, business, and individual. She invites you to visit her website, Lori G. Curtis, LauriGCurtis.com, to sign up for her newsletter to get the free download, keyword, free download, Fundamentally Unleashed, How to Ignite Your Path to Success. Again, visit Lori G. Curtis to get your free download. Now, I think that's exciting as well. Yeah, this is good. You know, I slowed down. I just got a notification about the Black Student Athlete Summit. So I will be going there in May, and as usual, we will have our breakfast. I'll let you know when that breakfast will be. But that will be, we'll be in L.A. May 22nd to the 26th. So, hey, I don't necessarily have a tour. I just try to have a connecting event whenever I do travel out. And I did put a message inside the private Facebook group asking the question, who lives in Charlotte? I should be in Charlotte on May the 13th. I have a faculty luncheon at John C. Smith on Monday, on that Monday. And I think I have another event that evening with the within the department. So I would love to see you while I travel. So be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. Hey, now look, when I tell you that we grow in the garden, we grow in the garden. Also in the Seventh Magazine is Dr. Jam. So Dr. Jam has the NIL Spot podcast. And she actually says that she's gotten a lot of traction from being in the magazine. So I'm really excited about that. But the NIL Spot podcast is gone from my audio to now a platform with visual. Yes, with video. So I'm so excited that she is growing in this space. And guess what? You need to get on board with folks before they blow up. I'm just saying. And she's about to blow up. So the NIL Spot podcast is a place for parents, student athletes, and coaches to understand the concept of name, image, and likeness in the high school, ding, 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 high school and college sports world. The host is Dr. Jam, but her name is really Dr. Jamara Mitchell. But her initials are Jam, and I just thought Dr. Jam, because look, if you all of a certain age, I don't know if the kids do this, but if you're a certain age, your song come on, and you say, that's my jam, that's what I thought about. So she launched this podcast to show how to highlight the need for athletes to build their brands based on their talent and personality. Each month, she will discuss a new topic, aspect of NIL, catered to the lives and sacrifices student athletes across all sports go through. Tune in to become an educator on NIL updates, Spotify, and other locations wherever you listen to podcasts. So this is going to be updated soon. I think it's going to be to her YouTube. Yeah, we're going to. So, again, let's support. And when I mean support, after you see it or hear it, share it. Okay? Because they said, what? Sharing is caring. All right. And the Soccer is a membership platform that stands for Semi-Professional Athletes and Coaches Association. You know, I told you, I've been telling you that I've been teaching labor law and coming to the end of the semester. Actually, next week will be the last. And you'll be talking about unions and the potential of student athletes becoming employees and the benefits of. And one of the things about this organization, it does, the Soccer, it does include financial vehicles, meaning insurances, I don't want to say car, but I do as health. These things that when you're independent, it's hard to get, the cost is pretty high. So, and again, if you're going to be an athlete, you know you probably need to have some medical assistance just to keep you on the keep your men faster, if you know what I mean. And so this is not just a community to talk. It is to assist with the needs of employees from a standpoint similar to a union. And so that being said, there are unions. I want to say boxing has partnered with the Soccer. Is it a boxing or wrestling? I'm not sure. But I just want to give you a concept of what we mean by this. It's a collaborative. I like collaborative better than I like collective, because I'm telling you the way that they're using collectives with NIL and it becomes confusing with collectives on the professional side. So SOC is a membership platform that stands for Semi-Professional Athlete and Coaches Association. Join a community of sports and industry professionals. For more information, go to thesaca.com. Again, thesaca.com, especially if you are in need of the financial support in several kind of capacities. Alva Amica, Education and Risk Management Consultant, let's send a prayer out. She is having a surgery today on her ankle. And so you want to send out good feelings for her for that. And so, but she does. I'm not sure how she's handling this since she's in surgery, but yes, I do know how she's doing it. So April the 11th is World Civility Day. So she is having a 30-day challenge, building blocks to civility in sports in 30 days. So if you sign up for 30 days, you will receive info about how to build civility in sports. And it is more like a collective of trying to figure out how to, she's going to create like a best practices or be able to assist in the area of civility in sports. And there's no need to go through all the examples, but we are in a crisis. Let's just say it like that. I just came from a 3-day tournament, EYBL, and I had many of my students working the tournament. And most of the issues were not the players, were not the coaches, or the officials. Now, I will tell you, it's crazy when officials walk off, I tell you. Yeah, it's serious. But it was the parents. It was the parents. And somehow or another, we've got to teach the parents that I think one case was something about the parent stood up and hollered at an official or something, and because it was closed facility, their reasoning was, I'm just supporting. Well, no. As I'm thinking about this, because if you say what you say verbally can be interpreted as a hate crime or hate language, that's the word, not crime, but hate language. And we just got to figure out how to put some meat into this thing, because it's dangerous out here. And if we want to keep the pipeline going, you know, these older folks getting out. And what young person want to get up in here? That's where we're losing these high school coaches, because the parents are all acting the fool behind them. Yeah, we got to do something. So join the challenge. Come on and join the Civility Challenge. CivilityInSports.com. CivilityInSports.com. Now let's see what we can do to address this. Okay? Seawall Sports Entertainment Foundation Transferable Skill Program is off and running. I understand they had a very successful fundraiser this past weekend. I am so sorry that I was not available to attend, but she's still taking donations because she's providing programming, which includes media training for student athletes, to at least 4 nonprofits in the D.C. area. And one of them is Head to Speech, and I've seen where we have some Head to Speech ambassadors. They're student-athletes who spread the word to their communities about the use of brain workouts and the other resources that are available. And so one of those resources is going to be this transferable skill program. And we saw where they assisted a young man before he did his announcement what university he was going to go to, and it was very productive. They could see the transformation. So I understand that another nonprofit will be using the services for the whole volleyball program when they begin to have their announcements of where they selected to go to college. So this is really great. And I really prefer for them to get some training other than just watching others that they see doing things on YouTube and they may be doing it wrong. So to bring this program to your university or your nonprofit, contact info@cwallfoundation.org. info@cwallfoundation.org. All right, so meet the contributors on Facebook Live. We'll resume tomorrow night. We have Tanera Rounds, Director of Intercollegiate Academic Teams for Talladega College. Cannot wait to share this. Has seen tremendous growth. When I told you, when you expose your expertise, you will elevate. And let me tell you, this girl is blowing up. And it started first with her putting her article in the magazine. So you don't want to miss the whole conversation. It will be 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Okay? So, and also go and watch the previous contributors, all right? And get your copy of the magazine today. So now, we have our guest of the hour. And I am going to, you're going to love it, I promise you. Attorney Cassandra Ramsey, host of the show Court to Court with the Esquire Coach. Welcome to the Garden, Cassandra. Hi there.
Hello, Monique. How are you today?
Girl, I am rolling. You hear me? I'm trying to do my podcast. People texting me all kinds of stuff. I'm going, I can't answer that right now. So, yes, as usual, I am flying. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
All right. So I want everyone to know about your journey, your career journey from college to now.
Okay, yeah. I graduated from Virginia State University with my bachelor's in political science with a minor in philosophy. I knew I wanted to go to law school. I had a year between undergrad and law school. I ended up getting into Howard University School of Law, and I finished there around 2015. And in the meantime of like taking the bar exam and everything, I decided to start my own practice. And I now have my own law practice in the Washington, D.C. Metro area, where I work with small business owners, assisting them with things like business formation and building their business, making sure they have the proper contracts and everything in place, and assisting them with like trademark registrations, copyright registrations. And I also work in the college athletic space. I began that while I was studying for the bar. I found a retired NFL player who was looking for people to write on his website. And I took the opportunity. And during this time, the Alston versus NCAA case was in litigation. So I started writing about that case and just generally advocating for college athletes' rights, as I personally saw it as a civil rights violation that you could take these athletes' name, image, and likeness rights and limit them to a scholarship. And just as the industry continued to balloon into a $1 billion industry, severely limit what college athletes could do. Every other American has the ability to profit at the very least, a profit and control from their name, image, and likeness, and I thought the college athletes should have the same rights. So with that right and opportunity, I also began advocating for that as well. And now I, in addition to my writing in the space and advocacy in the space, I speak with current and future college athletes and their parents about name, image, and likeness and a lot of the legal aspects that they need to know, because it dovetails with my law practice areas, and that when a college athlete decides to engage in NIL opportunities, they're essentially in a way becoming an entrepreneur and maybe even in some aspects of small business owners. So a lot of those same things that I talk to my general clients about with building a business and protecting their brand are a lot of the topics that college athletes need to know. And they especially need to know these topics as they review any potential NIL endorsement agreement.
Well, wow. So you answered a lot of my questions in one whole swoop. So, but I'm going to have to slow you down. So whatever happened to the case, the first case that brought your attention, law firm athlete?
Whatever happened to what case?
You know, the one that launched you into going, yeah, they should have that name, image, and likeness and get their money. You said you came about because you were dealing with the one that you came in contact with before you wrote your article.
Yeah, so the Alston case was not really about name, image, and likeness, right? It was about education-related benefits. And there, the plaintiffs sued the NCAA, alleging that their laws violated federal antitrust, or that the association's rules violated federal antitrust law by unduly restricting the amount of education-related benefits that college athletes could receive. So what the plaintiffs argued was that the NCAA could accomplish its goal of preserving amateurism while continuing to restrict non-education-related benefits, but no longer restricting education-related benefits. So what is an education-related benefit? Things like money for graduate school or a musical instrument, science equipment, basically anything that an athlete would need to continue and further their education. And the district court agreed. It went to the United States Appeals Court for the Ninth Circuit, and they agreed. And then the Supreme Court ultimately agreed as well. But the Supreme Court was very sure to make sure that this case, to make it clear, that this case only involved education-related benefits, but they also made clear that the NCAA is subject to federal antitrust law and their rules are subject to federal antitrust law, and they made clear that they would not be giving the NCAA an antitrust exemption. So one point that I do want to make is that the Austin case really had nothing to do with NIL. Those are two separate topics, and I won't go any further as to not go too far ahead of your question.
Wow. So, I mean, I could ask you so many questions, and I just want to tell everybody that she's a great educator because she spoke to my class. I use a video in my class to teach NIL about the law, she has been a wonderful resource, and I really would strongly say bring her to your campus to get the education. But before I go more into the what she provides, I do, this podcast has a lot to do with careers. So I just want to come back a little bit. When did you know you wanted to be a lawyer?
Oh, I was probably one of those weird people who kind of always knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer from like young in grade school, and just kind of stuck with it. I actually knew that I wanted to go to Howard Law. Like once I got into Howard Law, I actually saw a paper where I wrote in high school that I was going to attend Howard Law. So there's something to writing stuff down and manifesting it and making it happen.
Ooh, say it again nice and slowly.
Yes, there is something for writing some things down and manifesting it and making it happen.
Yes. I've had so many students tell me that they want to be lawyers, you know, they want to be sports lawyers. And you don't have to be a lawyer to be an agent, but still, you know, and I would just ask these questions, and I was like, and some things sound like our alignment. And then that's one reason why I went to go meet Nicole Lynn, because I want to be able to hear and to see what does it take to do that. And what she was sharing, and you happen to be there as well. It's not as simple as everybody thinks it is. And so, and apparently she had the same thoughts too, but she went into worked in a regular law firm and did the sports thing on the side. And when I say side, gigging, the child was out here trying to find her client on her birthday and drove 8 hours. And that's a hustle right there.
Yes, it is. I'm very familiar with Nicole Lynn's story, and, you know, I find it very, like, admirable. And it does speak to what it takes to be a lawyer, and then if you want to work in the sports industry, on what it takes to be there as well. You'll find that a lot of people do have their legal work that they do, and then they have their sports side, you know, their sports work on the side, and they're trying to find a way to merge the two. That's why in the beginning, when you asked me about my from college to now point, you know, I talked about my law firm, and then I came over and I talked about the advocacy work and writing on name, image, and likeness and college athletics in general. And it is almost like driving two trains at the same time, you know. And then I brought it together with how some of the things that I talked to my general clients about from business relations and contracts and brand building are a lot of the same things that athletes need to know as they navigate these NIL opportunities. So yes, a lot of what she said in her career path as far as being a lawyer and bringing together her sports interests as well. You know, I think, you know, for myself, that's true. I have my legal interests and things and the sports interests, and I'm trying to bring them together. And I think that may even be true for a lot of other similarly situated attorneys.
So I'm going to ask this question. It will be my last career-type question. What has been your biggest challenge of having your own law firm versus working with a larger firm? And what is your biggest accomplishment? And what services do you provide, and how can others contact you before we go deep into this NCAA world?
Biggest challenges. I think I'm going to go with two. One is probably somewhat obvious. It's like you got to have money, right? You have to have money to be able to fund your business and propel your business as you grow it. So that is a challenge, you know, budgeting and making sure that you keep your business expenses in a way that supports you where you are right now, while also being able to kind of grow and evolve as your practice changes and being able to support that as well. And another challenge, or I don't know if it's so much of a challenge or just something that is just necessary, is you have to network. You, especially if you're, you know, working on your own, you have to network and form relationships with other people, because that's where your referral sources and things start to come in. That's where you get opportunities to go to different events and meet different people who may become a client or may be able to refer somebody to you, because they may not be able to take that person on because they either have too much work or that's not a lot in their practice area, but they'll refer them to you. Sorry, what was the second part of the question?
So what was the, I guess, you know, like Nicole Lynn, she went with a company instead of going out, and she's still not out on her own. She jumped from one company to another law firm, but this one is all in the sports. What made you stay out on your own instead of trying to seek to be in a large firm?
Really, my need to remain flexible. I have two young children, so I needed to be able to kind of march to the beat of my own drum right now as I'm, you know, raising my two young kids. So, you know, right now having that structured 9-to-5, having to go into work every day at a building right now doesn't really fit where I am with my firm, I'm able to work remotely and work the hours that I need to work that best fits my lifestyle for my family at the current time.
Yeah, that's great. Now, one last question. So it kind of leads to my next part. How can others contact you? Before I say that, though, as it relates to NIL, you do have a contract checklist. Would you share how they can get that contract checklist for those who have some student athletes, again, high school and college, who you can't tell them it's a good contract or a bad contract, but you can give them this checklist?
Yeah, so the purpose of the checklist is it just highlights some contract terms and things that you should know as you may be reviewing an NIL deal, to just kind of give you a sense of what certain terms mean and what to look out for. And you can find my NIL contract checklist at my website, www.theesquirecoach.com. There's a tab on it that says NIL contract checklist, and there's also a pop-up once you come to the website that will give you the opportunity to sign up to receive the checklist.
And if that's not a great resource, I mean, and I'm just so excited that we have something like that in the garden that will, become a pinpoint where people can go back to. You can't say this is good or bad, but you can say, did you understand that term? And so that's the part I'm excited about. Okay, so I'm gonna push through because I got all these questions, okay? So I know you do work with the organization, the Drake Group. Tell me more about your role with them.
Yes, I am a board member for the Drake Group, and it is a think tank group that helps push certain issues forward in college athletics. And there I serve on the board, and, we host monthly meetings where we discuss certain issues happening in college athletics at the time and how we would like to move forward. We're putting out different position papers advocating for certain issues in college athletics. And we also regularly meet with legislative aides to talk to the members of Congress about certain college athletic legislation and certain things that we think would be good to see within college athletics.
Let's see, that's interesting. It's something you just said just jumped right out at me. And so I'm not going off script, but I'm going to address this. So I don't know if anybody else heard it, but she said Congress. So y'all know this is where we're going. It is as if Congress is, let me just say this. This is a conversation that Cassandra and I have all the time because we come from two different worlds. But the thing is that if the general public does not like how the NCAA is addressing something, they're going to Congress. And that's how we got NIL, because Congress is the one who said, Congress or a state legislation has said, we're going to have NIL. Forget what the NCAA said. And I'm honest with you. In the last month, and even on a podcast that I was on, the person said the NCAA is dead. And I'm like, huh? And so, but the fact that you got a group of think tanks that is having conversation with people who are legislators, it is something to be alerted to, that you just can't be, you have your head in the sand at your institution. You better be able to know who's got influence and to share your perspective. And so, and I'm going to give you props, Ms. Cassandra, is you must feel like Noah and the Ark, the rain is coming. You have the ability to see what is missing as it relates to the law and the state of athletics. And we may not always agree, because You come from two different worlds and represent two different groups. But tell the audience how your law review was mentioned in a very recent decision and on your podcast.
Last year I wrote a law review article on NIL collectives, and you mentioned earlier during your remarks in the beginning about, you know, using the word collective because of how it's being used now in the college athletic space. So just very briefly, what is an NIL collective? They're basically entities that's been formed by boosters or other alumni who want to support the athletes at their school with obtaining NIL opportunities. And my law review article was about Title IX and NIL collectives. And the question is, let me back up a little bit. What basically happened with NIL collectives is that they began to become a major player in the NIL space with providing NIL opportunities. And this is different than just athletes who on their own seek third-party deals with the company. This is a collective helping you find these opportunities. And they began to provide them at a disproportionate rate between men and women, right? So most of the NIL collectives deals are going to men and not to women. And then you even have some collectives that advertise that they work primarily with one or two sports. Well, three guesses what those sports are, right? It's men's basketball and football. So that presented Title IX concerns. Title IX is a legislation that says that you can't have gender discrimination for any federally funded institutions, which pretty much all colleges and universities fall under that. But as I said, NIL collectives are independent entities. So the question is, do NIL collectives have a responsibility to ensure that they provide equitable opportunities to both men and women? So the answer is, from a Title IX perspective, probably not, right, because they're not receiving federal funding. But then the question becomes, do the schools have a obligation to make sure that the NIL collectives that they work with and that they're so tethered with provide equitable opportunities to men's and women's sports? And that was essentially what my law review article was about. And this article was cited in a major college athletics case where the state attorney generals in Tennessee and Virginia sued the NCAA based on antitrust principles, again, regarding their rules that preclude using NIL as a recruiting inducement and allow NIL collectives to essentially negotiate with players as they are deciding what school they want to originally attend or transfer to. And, much to my surprise, the temporary restraining order in the case was rejected. So I thought that the preliminary injunction would be rejected too, but the judge actually granted a preliminary injunction and said that because college athletes' most marketable time and strongest time to negotiate is while they're trying to decide what school to go to initially or school to transfer to, that they are suffering harm if they're not allowed the opportunity to really negotiate all available opportunities. So my law review article was cited in the judge's opinion in that case where he issued a preliminary injunction.
Okay, so you lost me, but I mean, I was just I'm going with the flow. So you were talking about Title IX. How did the judge take your Title IX and collectives to cite it with the collectives and inducing for recruitment? Explain,
because
please.
A big part of my law review article was explaining what NIL collectives are and their role in the space. So it was cited based on my discussion of that. And the case
so
had to do with...
So your description of what they do is what the mm-hmm. judge used to explain their,
just as a citation,
I guess, their benefit?
Just explaining what NIL collectives are and their role in the space within their opinion.
So, again, y'all, I'm trying to tell you the girl is in the know. And if you know, like I know, there's just certain things that you listen to so that you can be, in layman terms, because I'm telling you, it's a little creepy, because she'll say something, and I'm like, no, and this thing I know is happening. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to start debating, and I'm just going to start listening. So that being said, how can people listen to your podcast and name of it, and all that kind of good stuff, because I use it Girl, you are my co-teacher in my class.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Again, they can go to my website. It's www.theesquirecoach.com. And there's a tab up there that says Court to Court Podcast. And there you can find all of the videos that I've done so far. And I talk about these very topics, explaining what NIL is and the whole Title IX issue and everything that I talk about. I go more into detail about those topics. And for those who are in the Bowie area, the show also airs live on TV. And then every day at 1 o'clock, I want to say for Comcast and Verizon, it's like Channel 11. So the show's available there as well. And it's also available on YouTube on the Bowie TV Sports YouTube channel.
Say that again, the Bowie, because I want to give another one of our media partners a shout-out. Candy Waller is where collaborations happen. We go further together. What's the name of the station again?
Yes, it is the Bowie TV Sports Network on the station. And then the YouTube channel is at Bowie_TV. So Bowie Community Media Corporation.
Man, you don't know. This just makes me so happy. In the upcoming, the eighth issue, Attorney Cassandra Ramsey will have more info. It's funny. This thing is so fluid. I said, can you update your article to include this? I have a feeling before we get to August, I'm going to ask you to be updating some more. But I tell you, how do you stay up on all this? Is where, I mean, you're my source, but what is your source, girl? So I'm just saying, sincerely, I appreciate you being who you are and being able to explain things that's digestible. So what's your source? How do you keep up with all this stuff?
It forces you to kind of constantly be on the social media platform. So I follow various pages on Twitter, like ESPN News, On3 Sports News. Another publication that I write for, The Business of College Sports, is run by a former attorney, Christy Dosh, and she also keeps up with a lot of the things going on in the area as well. So I follow those publications. I watch some different YouTube videos and things, and just try to really stay up on the news on what's going on. But gosh, there's something new every day. I recently, last Friday, spoke to a group of professors, and as I was putting my materials together for them, like right before going in, I had to add two more points because we just had the Virginia State Legislature last Thursday, I think it was, vote to enact legislation that will now allow colleges and universities in Virginia to directly pay their college athletes for their name, image, and likeness. And, you know, every day is just something.
Okay,
and
back that up. Again, this is news to me. Slow it down. Tell me again what you just said.
Yeah, so the Virginia State
said
Legislature. The Virginia State Legislature and Governor Glenn Youngkin signed it into law last Thursday, a new law that will allow colleges and universities in the state of Virginia to directly pay their athletes for using their name, image, and likeness.
I'm sorry. Again, I'm an old fuzzy. That don't make any sense to me. Explain, please.
So basically any promoting material that the university may use, they can pay the athletes to appear in different promotions or anything related to their NIL. And they can, because, you know, the NCAA rules strictly prohibit pay-for-play and, you know, schools paying their athletes for anything, basically. So now this Virginia law says we're not going to follow the NCAA rule anymore. Colleges and universities in Virginia, you have the ability to directly pay your athletes for using their name, image, and likeness.
Okay. When we get off this podcast, I'm going to need you to send me that link so I can tell it to my students. You see what I mean, people? We got to have, and I prefer to have one source, and then she can tell me to go to a different source. But I can't keep up with all this. And if I just leave, she telling me, you know what? you need to be just giving like a send out a thing again on your newsletter. It's like, okay, breaking news. And I'm serious because I can't keep up, but people like me want to have reliable source. And you, when you explain it, I get it. I can't get it with everybody else. And so, man, you just really – and here's my thing. When you say this, this is like coaching you but also telling everybody else. So when you say that out loud, that really means that the athlete is going to need some representation or something. Because what you're going to say, just give me $1,000 for, I mean, what's the freaking price range? You know, I put you on my media guide. Do I got to pay the kid? What in the world?
Yeah, the need for representation for athletes is ever increasing every day with every new change. And one, because things are changing so much. So like you said, it's hard to keep up with. It's even hard for me to keep up with. So, you know, it's got to be even harder for the athletes who already have so many demands with being a student and being an athlete, and now they have to keep up with the changes that's going on too. So, no, it is a lot. And the need for representation is certainly ever increasing.
No, but what I just said, like, if I put the kid on my media guide, do I got to pay the kid?
I think that would be subject to what deal, you know, you enter into. But the point from this law is that the colleges and universities are no longer prohibited from doing so. They're free to negotiate or, you know, contract with their athletes for that.
Now you come from HBCU 2 times. Now, a UVA can do this, but what in the world? I'm going to have to give you some, I can't pay you, honey. I'm going to have to give you a coupon to go to. You know, everybody like Chipotle. I mean, my God, you know what I mean? Like, if I, my fear is when I tell it, that they're going to go, hey, you got to pay me now. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, what in the hell? Look, I'm serious, Cassandra. You got to come up with something that flashes, something that you send out. Because I only got 1 more week of class, and I already gave them their assignment. But this right here is truly news-breaking to me. And I didn't see anything about it at all. And I live in Virginia, please, okay?
Lord.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so my time is out. I want to thank you so much for, look, just going on this roller coaster with me, because I know we were speeding down. I appreciate you trusting me with your brand. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Jamila Harrison from Refined Solutions for being my eyes and my ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook to chat in the garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.
Hi, my name is Lori Governor Curtis, founder and CEO of On the Court Solutions. On the Court Solutions was created to unlock the limitless potential within every student athlete, business, and individual. Our mission is to propel you beyond boundaries and empower you to make a lasting impact on your life and those around you. On the Court Solutions, igniting potential, surpassing limits, and creating a profound impact. For more information and to receive a free download, go to my website, LoriGCurtis.com.
Are you ready to take your name, image, and likeness to a new level? You know, your brand. Then look no further than the Semi-Professional Athlete and Coaches Association, the FACA. Whether you're a collegiate or professional athlete, coach, or athletic director, you'll want to join our vibrant community of sports industry professionals and unlock a world of excitement, possibilities, and opportunities. For more information, visit our website at www.thefaca.com. That's THESACA.com. And get your branding game on with the FACA.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.